And don't you come back here anymore. And Tom had been working there for 17 and a half cents an hour. That's all they paid him. And then he was lucky he got his money on a Saturday.
That is right.
Anyway, in the afternoon he come back and said, Tom, you come back to work.
Well, he fired us, and
Tom says you're too late because I just got a job with the brothers, remember?
Yeah.
I worked with them for...
Yeah. Oh,
he fired a whole bunch of us.
Oh, you know, Professor Day, I remember the day he died. We were wheel-hauling. I was wheel-hauling my onions, and he was wheel-hauling carrots, and the ditch was in between his legs. And we sat when we got up the edge, and we sat and we talked. Now, Hap Day and Connie Smythe had developed some new kind of fertilizer for onions.
Cool.
Uh-huh. And I had bought some through Professor Day. He was bought. I had bought a couple of tons and put it on my onions. And we were talking about how good the onions were doing and how his carrots was doing. And sat down there and talked. This would be about 11:30. By 2:30, he died that afternoon in the carrot patch. We all held the same damn patch of carrots. In the heat. Yeah.
To the sunstroke, eh?
Yeah.
But what happened to us? We used to take it in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning till 12 o'clock at noon to go to the end three rows. Took us 5 hours to do three rows.
Yeah.
So he'd gone home for lunch. Come back after dinner and you're all fired. How did he know we were fired? What the heck we were doing? He said, you weren't working. I seen you weren't working. We knew he wasn't there. What he had? He had a gardener and surveyor's level set up on the house up in the hill, and he was looking at it down
mind
the march.
You, he was the most stubbornest fella. When he made up his mind about anything, nothing could change it.
What nationality was he? English, too?
He must have.
Bill.
That's getting rough.
Well, we get started on this. Have you got your... Can you see that? Can you see that? That picture? Can you see that picture?
Yeah, that's the dredge.
There? That's the dredge. Yeah.
Yes. My brother Tom helped put that together, helped take it apart.
Yeah, he took it
apart.
And
Bill Sutton.
Yeah.
Remember Bill Sutton?
Yeah, Bill Sutton, yeah.
They helped take it apart.
Do you know who
Bill?
I would...
Cummings and Robbins.
Bill did...
Ottawa.
Does Spoofy Mullis bring
who?
Coal? Malt Wilbert? Bring coal up the canal to the dredge, or help to do it?
Who?
Wilbert Mullis?
No.
I'll tell you who I think it was the two Graham brothers. Guilford and Leonard, they both...
I don't think Wilbert...
Who was the fireman?
Who?
Jimmy Ringer.
Oh, Jimmy Ringer, he was going with Miles or something a couple of times.
Well, I understood it was old Tom Prince and Dick Waller because they were the only two that had a boiler's permit.
Yeah, well, they were the engineers.
Levers. Yeah.
Oh.
But they have to have a fireman.
Yeah, they had to have a fireman, but old Dick and them was the only two I understood that had a steam license.
I don't know. But
still, they need the fireman there. You know?
Well, yeah. Well, then he was just the fireman firing the boilers.
Jimmy Ringer was
there. Well, Bill Sutton was there. No, I tell you who I was talking to the other day was Linwood Waller, Red Waller.
Oh, I often
talk
to
him. Do you often talk to him?
Yeah. He's got awful small and thin to what he used to be.
I haven't seen him. I just talked to him on the telephone.
Oh.
So. Who cooked on this dredge, do you know?
No, I don't know.
I
remember going down there watching when they first started to do the first few shovels right there south of the road bridge now. Before it opens up to go to the canal to the right.
Yeah.
You see the little canal was in there.
Mm-hmm.
In the little scheme.
The first canal was about 50 feet long. It went...
Oh, he went from there right down to Peterman's.
Before they turned around. They built a little canal.
Right down to the
six right, line. Right out to the highway. It was only about 50 feet.
Now, Bill, you were saying, though, that the little scheme, the Bradford scheme, it was done first.
Oh, yes.
How did they dig it?
Huh?
How did they dig it? How did they excavate it?
Well, now, tell you the truth, I don't know. Well,
they put that little
canal in, and I had land there. I bought land there. You had land there. And old John Marino and I, Joby Morris had land there, but he blocked us off and wouldn't let us use the road. We had no way of getting out from Buse's. We used to go down through Buse's Lane, old man Buse,
with the bridge
to the canal bank, and go down there. But Joby Morris cut us off. So John Marino and I got some plank and some beams, and we made a road right at the bottom of Piccadilly Hill, where it is now. Then we went the first bridge. That's how we got in. Well, then, when Joby said he saw we couldn't, he couldn't stop it, he pulled the fence down.
He was a character, old Joby was.
Oh, he was
Joby Morris?
Yeah.
He was mean as hell.
All the Morrises were mean, weren't they?
I remember one time we were dealing with Loblaws, and Loblaws knew me pretty good. And Joby had all the Selby business from them, Selby Hearts. They used to wash them and pack them here. And he went to Toronto one day and he got drunk. And he never come home for 2 days. And he had an order for a truckload of Selby Hearts to be into Loblaws at 10 o'clock that night. He never got home. And his wife was worried, and she phoned me up at last at 12 o'clock. And she says, "Bill, will you do me a favor?" And I said, "What's that, Ann? Will you come over here and get this load of Selby and take it to Loblaws?" I said, "Sure." Loblaws had phoned and phoned. And they suggested that she get me. And she didn't want to do it, but she had to allow. Well, I just got down there, and I got all on the pull away when Joby pulled in. And he was half drunk there. And he looked at me and he said, "You son of a bitch, what are you doing here? Touching my Selby. Get the hell out of here." I said, "Yes, I'll get the hell out. Here's your goddamn Selby paper." I said, "Take it off my truck." I said, "You can take your own goddamn Selby." So he did. I don't know how he got there back, but anyway, 2 o'clock in the morning. Joby was
quite good.
Things haven't changed, have they?
I can't remember, but I remember one Sunday afternoon we started the bridge and we walked around from the bridge up. We come around. We got up to about somewhere this side of between Joby Morris and Duke Lowe's on the walk, and we get into that mud with their Sunday uniforms on from church and that, and we got into the mud and that. Holy crap. But I don't remember what the dredge looked like, though. I don't remember. Nobody remembers what that... But it's not this one. It's not this one.
I remember the little one in. But see, it only went from the... Well, around here, back of the restaurant.
Yeah.
Along here and up from the highway down to the 6th concession.
That's right. It went partway over the township.
What year did it start?
25 or 27?
Yeah.
I understood it was 25 to 28. Okay. 3 years.
So I was 25, five. I was about 7 years old when I first saw it.
Well, that would be 25 because
it
was before the big scheme. Yeah.
But George asked me which
one
was.
No, I thought the big scheme was 25 to 28.
It was going north.
That's what I mean. Well, so the other one might could have been 24.
Well,
I don't know.
It was before.
Okay, just one fella to talk at a time. The tape, you ever listen to a tape with five fellas talking at the same time? It's pretty damn confusing. Okay, all right, Bill. So the little marsh, the little Bradford marsh, was done before the big one.
Yes.
Okay, and what year would that be? Like when?
Well,
like
it would
we're
be
saying
about 3 years before. It would be about 25, 24.
24, 25. Well, we have a story here. We have a story here that the prof wrote for the magazine called The Canadian Engineer, and he wrote this. It's in the 1927 edition of that magazine, and he talks here about. Let's see now. Starting the Martin Fields Cummins, and there was advertised in the contract to Cummins and Robinson of Toronto on April the 16th, 1925, in which the report so and so.
Yeah, that's right.
Then he goes on, so he starts to talk about the fact that the drainage, the excavation of that was done in 1925.
Yeah.
Well, I would say around that.
Yeah.
Started, yeah.
So that small scheme would have been done before 1925.
Well, around
23,
24. 23, 24.
I would say.
Because the first.
I don't think they did the two of them at the same time, but I.
No, but
well, I tell you why. When Professor Day had land over the little scheme into the big leaf, the last one up to where.
Yeah.
Where.
I helped to ditch it.
Franklin Marina was.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
the last lot
yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Well, Professor Day had let us in there when Cyril Messer came from Thetford to grow onions. And he was the first man to grow onions on this marsh. And he grew them right up where Vabrick had the land, again the little canal bank.
I helped him.
Did you? And he grew those onions there, and he had a wonderful crop of
yeah.
onions.
Me and Art Hand.
And Professor Day had a crop of lettuce on that land that Frankie Moran had, the last lot in the town,
mm-hmm.
town
yeah.
in the big scheme.
Yeah.
It went out to the river. But this was up from the Carbank to the river, and they cut lettuce there that same year.
Yeah.
Who was the fellow who grew the onions? What's his name?
Cyril Messer. M-E-S-T-A-G-H.
Yeah.
That's farmer's...
Came up from Blenheim.
M-E-S-T-A-G-H.
Your sister-in-law.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think he came up here in 28. I think old Cyril came in 28. He got flooded out two or three times down at...
Thetford?
No, I don't know. Right on the Lake Erie, right
Feeling.
On...
Leamington.
Yeah, it's only, yeah. it's in closer. There's
yeah.
another name there I'm
you
trying to think
tell us what year that starter
well, tell
is,
you.
Was.
Just let me...
You know
Wheatley, was it?
Because he went to the exhibition.
Well, she's... Vera, I think, turned 70 or 71, so we'll
yeah.
take 95. 70, well, that'll make it 25, then. Oh, well, maybe... But I didn't think, I don't think the big scheme was going in 25.
No,
it
was quite a distance.
Yeah.
So Vera still live in Bradford?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah.
She's on Moore Street there, just up back of the old post office, or
she
the old library.
Another sister, too.
Yeah.
Gene Nelson's, Gene Yermanek's wife.
Irene.
Mm-hmm. Irene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just the two girls.
But they were both born here after they came to Bradford.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No.
Weren't they?
Mm-hmm. No.
They went to school in the past with Wally.
They weren't born here.
Well, they weren't born
Vera
here.
Vera was.
No.
Wally, 71, 72.
Nationality wasn't,
about
I forget.
Belgian.
That's what I
Belgium.
Think.
Belgium.
Yes.
Hell of a nice guy, too.
He was.
Super guy.
Who? Old Cyril. Yeah, he was.
Okay, we were talking with Herb here back a week or so ago, and he mentioned that the prof, they put that dredge together on the riverbank on the east side over by where the river view is now. They put it together over there. And
well,
it,
they could have, but they
then,
took it apart.
Okay, we're putting... We're
on that side when they... were wound up on that side when they come from Schomburg and come back the other side.
Yeah, they came. They went around the marsh. This Bill. They
yeah.
went around the marsh this way.
That's right.
Yeah.
They got
okay.
up as far as Dolan's Bridge and they run into quicksand.
Yeah.
And they had to back out.
Yeah.
And I was had to kind of resurvey a bit so they could miss that quick. Then they never run into any more trouble.
How did, they, how did they? How did they? Decide? Did they? How did they decide the line? Did they have it laid
well,
out?
Professor Day surveyed it. Mm-hmm. And old Bill Davy cut the right away where he had the stakes wide, so wide where the canal had to go.
Was
and Bill Davy got the wood, and I don't know if he got paid as well.
I don't think there was much money in those. Well, wasn't Dave Sullivan mixed up in the surveying?
Well, he could have been. But Professor
well,
Day...
Well, Vic was never a surveyor, but Dave Sullivan was a surveyor because
yeah,
he came
yeah.
in from the west.
Yeah.
Dave was
forever.
I have some stuff. I have some material of the home, and it gives you the depth of the canal and the width of the canal, this,
yes.
that, and the other thing. And there's a lot of on that. Where did I get that from? Oh,
you
Robbie
get,
Watson. Yeah.
And also, yeah. This thing here gives you the... There's a plan here. See, it talks about 70 feet wide,
well,
and there's so many feet wide.
Jeez, I never thought it was 70 feet wide.
Did you
ever
go for
no.
I don't think it was 70
no,
feet
wide. No, I was too young.
Lucky you might
I don't
have been
think
dead
so.
Now.
I was too young to go
he
with Professor Day.
He was the goddamnest driver I ever saw in my life.
Yeah. Well, didn't that go with a lot of those people? Did you ever hear of a fellow by the name of Tommy Cooper?
No.
Well, you've heard about the agricultural representatives.
Yeah.
You know, the people who were started them. What is it? 1911. They started the ag reps in the various counties to try and talk.
Yes.
Well, Tommy Cooper was the ag rep up in Gray County, up in Markdale.
Yeah.
And the stories about him are just absolutely unreal. It's absolutely incredible, the stories of him.
Did you ever hear of a fellow by the name of Bobby Robinson of Burlington?
Bobby Robinson, the government representative
you're talking about.
Yeah, Bobby, he was in that fruit and vegetable thing.
Yes, he went with me and Professor Day trying to organize celery growers. We may as well have talked about Walters and all them fellas, Michigan. And Thetford and the Humber and all they were growing celery. We couldn't get them fellows to budge. They didn't want nothing to do with the corn.
It's still the same, isn't it?
Yeah.
They've had several tries at trying to get some guys to come together on the growing, but nothing comes of it.
No.
See what happened.
The only big success we had when we had the co-op down here. The building and that.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good success.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and George Wilson, you knew George Wilson, didn't you? He was the government representative.
I've heard the name, but I don't know
him. Yeah, he was from Oakville.
Yep.
He got the government to finance it all, and the co-op paid for it all, all back to the government. And they got this other, Bailey River, when they went broke. You know, they're making money hand over fist.
Yeah.
But the first I remember reading about Professor Day, he was up working land, and they called it the Bradford Marsh at that time in the old Bradford Witness. And that was up in Lagoon City. And he was up there
City, over Canada.
Yeah, that's where he was dickering first before he come down into Bradford. That was before the First World War, 1914. In Aurelia, Brecon,
yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, I know where it is.
Because that's where I first remember.
Well, exactly, because then they should have kept calling the Bradford Marsh. Where the hell they got this Holland Marsh from?
That was from the old Holland River, I guess.
More guys grew stuff before those Dutch guys came in here.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, it's named after Holland River. That's what the Holland Marsh made.
Holland Marsh,
that's it.
No. Well, was that Mr. Holland in here, wasn't it?
Well, Holland was the name of the surveyor who did the surveying.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with the Dutch.
Major Holland that named the marsh and the river and the Holland Landing?
Something to do with old Simcoe, wasn't it?
Yeah, Lord Simcoe's a right-hand man, one of the right-hand men.
When these fellows went out onto the marsh, they'd gone through with the dredge and they scooped out the dredge.
Under the inside.
And they dug it into the inside and they had trees and mud and everything thrown together.
Well, they pretty well had the trees all cut off. It was all small.
Stumps were left in there.
Yeah, stumps.
And that kind of stuff, yeah.
Because
and small brush. Anything that wouldn't burn.
We picked raspberries along there for the next 2 years, just on the canal bank, on the inside. You never saw raspberries like it. They were as big as strawberries and bucketfuls of them.
That's a picture that somebody left on Ken Wood's door handle here back a couple of years ago. But they didn't tell us who the where it came from, and they didn't give us any indication. And here's that dredge again in the background. See the dredge?
Yeah.
And then it just looks like they're scooping up all kinds of slash
like
and everything else.
Does it. Well.
But you think they cut most of the trees off?
They cut them all down
first.
Yeah.
They're just the stumps so high, that's all.
And what they do, throw them inside or in?
They haul it away to burn.
On the canal bank. All on the inside. Not on the outside, on the inside where they made the road.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then you just had a pile of dirt there, though.
That's all up and down like a
next year clay.
Just as they dumped it.
Yeah. Well, then how did you level that out?
Well... I went up there so many times, and I went to Turner's Bridge instead of going over the bridge. We went north up to Vic Turner's. There was a creek come down in there halfway between Doan's Bridge and Vic Turner's, and We used to have a hell of a time getting stuck going down in there. And then we used to go down through Fred Doan's.
Yeah.
And Ralph Doan and I bought the first 15 acres on the Simcoe side of the marsh in 1931. We carried the fertilizer on our backs from the north side of the bridge, over the bridge, and out on Fraser Avenue for about 150 yards to got beyond the tamaracks. And the 15 acres we had in there in 1931. And Fred Doan took the stuff off with a horse and a stone boat.
Yeah.
The carrots in bags. We bagged them up.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we got them off.
Well, didn't most people that own land just level their own off just
that,
for,
right?
for just
that
level their own
well
up just for a horse and wagon or whatever you could get up at and it was old. Craig was only 6 feet
we
wide.
We couldn't use the canal bag for to get up for the first couple of years. Just walk.
Yeah.
Then it was just up and down, a pick your way between the humps and bumps. And,
Well, even the road from the when I walked over from the bridge of the pump house over to. Over the little scheme
yeah,
or over
yeah.
towards Graham Side Road over
yeah,
there
yeah.
Cripe, you just went up and down like that, and that was in 31, 32.
Why,
31
sure.
maybe
yeah,
before
sure.
even that
it was a long time
but the pump house would have been in by then and the pumps
oh yeah everything
there.
Was in
that
oh,
was all
oh,
put
yeah,
out
yeah,
that
so,
was all
yeah.
in it
I think it was all done by 28 because
yeah.
I tell you what happened to me. I was snooping around the bottom of the town hall. And all these records are down the basement, and I was going through the wall. And that's when I found it was 25,
oh, yes,
28.
It was done before,
oh, thank
right?
you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
25, 28, but all them records are all destroyed. Oh, well.
Caesar.
Oh, yes.
Caesar
be Jeezy.
Who is he?
Caesar
thank
had
you.
Land
thank
in
you
19.
Thank you. Thanks, mate.
You remember Emerson Ferris had some land the next year, that would be 62.
Here's to your health, Bill.
Yeah.
I need something like this.
Old Ceezy be Jeezy.
Ceezy broke up more land on this marsh than anybody.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He broke his own back too, didn't he?
Yeah,
remember when the tractor fell on it? Yeah.
I remember taking them up. I bought Cookstown in 1930, you know. I was the first man to break up Cookstown. And then that damn Emerson Ferris turned around and saw the woman that fall and rented the land off of her after me breaking it up that year.
Well,
you
didn't
do it that way?
It didn't grow anything anyway, Bill.
Well, George Kennedy is still on the same piece of land.
Yeah, he's still on it.
Yeah.
Well, Ben Collins was in there for a while, wasn't he?
Ben?
Wasn't Ben in there with the gang for a while?
I don't think so.
I ever know. We leveled it and drained it and all we could. We couldn't get it drained out the back way. There's too many stumps and too wet back there. But we grew a lot of carrots and celery and lettuce and shipped a carload of onions to, red onions to Quebec City, and I've been looking for them right up until yesterday. I never know where the hell they went. Never got paid. Never heard of them.
Who is the fella who still has the land in Cookstown?
George Kennedy, right at the very
yeah.
west end.
Yeah.
How do you spell his last name?
Kennedy.
K-E-M-M-E-N-Y.
He's a father-in-law of Johnny Samurda here. Johnny Samurda married his daughter.
His son is on the health unit.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the health inspectors. Bill
Kennedy.
The old man was George.
He
brought in onions into... He brought in onions once to United Farms, and you never smelt fish. Them onions stunk of fish for weeks and weeks and weeks, and we couldn't figure out where this odor come from, and somebody said, well, go over that Kennedy's box and smell them. So it's from the old, dried-up old lake that was up there in the thing. It was right in the onions.
All the
I don't know who
in,
got them. But
all the carp come in and died up. Made manure.
Oh, that was a big laugh, that was.
Going back to Prof. Day. So they, when they did this drainage, so they dumped all this stuff in
right on the canal bank.
Right on the canal
yeah.
bank. And then... How long would it have been, like you said, okay, you were in there at the early stage. How long would it have been before all the marsh was taken up, like, and everybody
oh,
was...
Oh, shit. Long time.
It was after the war, I would
say. There was none up where Watson, Wist, and Halling there, up near the highway.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite a few years, must have been 5 or 6 years.
What was the guy's name, Bill, that come down through Dave Solomon's across the little bridge? Dave Sicchetti, wasn't it?
Dave Sicchetti.
Well, that was the last
Ernie
piece of...
Ernie Muzzin and Dave Sicchetti.
That was the last piece of property. Center
and,
Street.
Center. And the boys that went back to Italy. Big...
Del Ben.
Del Ben. Yeah, Del Ben. But the big fellow that went back, him and his brother-in-law... Benny was his brother-in-law, and he went back to Italy.
Oh, Benny.
He offered me his new two-ton, five-ton GMC Benny. Truck for damn near nothing on a Saturday night, and he was leaving Monday. And I said no.
Well, that gang was
but
all
he
together.
Went back to, and he started a taxi business in Italy, but he never come back. The Big Louie.
And they shot him.
Yeah.
The Matthew got him.
That's where this idea is. Sam, you didn't start this idea of shooting people in.
He owed the government so much money, he did. Taxes.
I never heard of Big Louie.
Never heard of Big Louie.
Yes, see, Big there Louie. Was a big gang down there. Del Ben and
all Italian.
Del Zotto and
and the fellow with the beard.
Zucchetti, they went to go.
Yeah.
Dave Sicchetti?
Yeah, there was about 14 or 15.
Ernie
and all of a sudden they split up.
Yeah.
One way, one other.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Well, they had all that land down there. Then Herds come in and got all that land.
Yeah, Herd. Well, you know, Sylvester and I had some of Herd's land between us 1 year. And he said to me, Miller said, well, we go on it there. I said, he said, to think it's
going to live. I got two tapes.
So we put it all in letters. And we made more money that time year of the letters we ever did in our lives. It was just right for letters. They'd been growing potatoes on it. And we always said, if you want to grow some good letters, put potatoes in it the year before.
Oh.
And you get good letters. That's what we did. And we had the damnedest good crop, my Sylvester and I.
Bill,
that was on
her
land.
Bill, who was the first
Del
guy?
Del Ben. Not Del Ben. Big Louie. Yeah. Louie.
Who was the first man that grew stuff on this other side there?
Which place?
On our side over there.
Who was the first man?
On the big scheme.
Cooney Foster.
Cooney Foster?
I say grow stuff, not fix up four tractors.
There was Cooney, and there was Jimmy Lemon from Barry, and George Green, and Cunningham, and Tom Fuller, and...
Herb Taylor, he tried it in
who?
There.
Who? Jimmy Lemon from Barry. They all were down
Dennis Nolan was the first
on the land
Dennis
Tom
Nolan. Hilo, yeah, he was on the... He was over the... He was over Dufferin Street, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean
he
on
was,
that side.
Yeah.
Who?
Bill Fuller... Danny Nolan was over Dufferin Street on the west side of Dufferin Street.
Yeah, and then Snore
came the old man's still waiting to get paid for the well he drilled for him. You know, I maybe I shouldn't say that, but I was at a little meeting the other night, and something come up about the new mayor's up, and I said, well, the best mayor we had was Denny Nolan. I said, he came into town with lots of money, and I said he was the most honest Catholic mayor we ever had. Well,
only had one, eh?
And when I put the Catholic in there, that got
oh, Jesus.
And I said, he died broke.
I do. Your dad's pumping well. Remember when Davies had land on the far side on the fifth of King?
Yeah, Arch
I
Saints
drew
Marsh.
That damn drilling outfit of your dad's up that Tom Waters Lane up there to their place to drill that well. And nobody had been up that damn canal bank with a truck before.
Yeah.
We had a hell of a job getting in there.
You know another guy.
350 feet deep he went to get water, and that he hit it at 300. And it's still flowing today, Bill. That well still flowing. Lanson's still using Knibbies.
At
Davies is still flowing.
That's the one I drew in there.
Yeah.
Oh, I said I'd never go up that damn canal back again.
Okay, Sam?
His name is Aldo...
Del Zotto.
Oh, yeah.
Del Zotto.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of the old boys from this side here.
And where is he there?
Right across the road from the tower on Main Street there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You'd know young Rick Belzop. Yeah. Well, that's his old man.
I thought he died.
He was with that gang,
He was in.
See the guy up there that's about 94 years old?
Remember Peanut? No, he's only 84. He's only 84.
Right? You remember Peanut Belzop?
He's a brother of Leo Delgado.
Does he still do his own gardening, does he?
Yeah, he's still far. Yeah, grows tomatoes out of this world.
Yeah.
They started a mushroom place in Toronto, I think.
They were all together.
Yeah.
Bill, can we go back to this dredge? Can we go back to this?
Yes.
You say your brother Tom took it apart.
Yeah, they...
Whereabouts did they take it apart?
Right down here, this side of the bridge, just south of the bridge on that side by the...
Boathouse.
Inn,
by the Riverview?
Yeah, by the boathouse.
The Riverview Inn on that side.
Okay. All right. Now, you say they took it apart.
Well, when I say take it apart... Tom had to go down under the water and undo the bolt that was bolted together underneath. The top part they could do it themselves, but they got Tom and Bill Sutton to do it, and they did it.
What did they do with the? The steam shovel part of it? Did they take it off first?
They unloaded. They put it on the railroad.
Sent
it back the way it came.
Didn't they go to Montreal from here?
Well, the company came from Ottawa to start with.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe
it was Cummings and Robinson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Robinson.
Yeah, Cummings and Robinson. That's right.
Yeah.
That's what Day says too.
And they came by railroad to the stockyards.
Mm-hmm.
And they unloaded it from there and drew it down to the river, which was only a little ways down, you know.
Yeah, half a mile. And when they put the last water line across from Church's Well and Tiz's property there, they hit a lot of soft coal there, and nobody knew where that soft coal come from. And I said that was the soft coal that they used when they put the canal through. It was not.
Yeah.
So Jim Church come along, and I said to Church something about it, and Church said, no, it wasn't that at all. But I found out from another guy, it was that. But that's the only damn place there'd be soft coal, because that's what they used in those days. The fire boilers were soft coal.
Oh, yes.
Would that be on the east side or the west side?
No, that's on the west side.
On the west side.
The west side.
Was that where they dumped it, and then they
dumped it there, and then they put it on the scows and towed it up around. Yeah. They had a tow, of course, right around. Yeah. And I understood it was the two Graham brothers that did that. Nick and Weldon Graham, the butchers, you remember?
You know them. Weldon.
They were the two brothers that hauled the fill from the back of where the old man was, where Andy Smurder, just over here off that big hill here. And that's they hauled the fill from
to the
canal bank.
They had a butcher shop in Barrie.
That's where they went.
Yeah.
Well, they had it right next to Evans's there.
They lived in Butch's house, Butch Boyd's.
Butch Boyd's house.
Yes.
And they lived on Sam Quinn's farm for a short time.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry, we're getting
late. It's all right. We just want to make sure we got their pedigree right.
They came from Cookstown.
Who did they go out with on Saturday night, Bill?
Oh, we're not talking about that. They came from Cookstown.
They came from Cookstown.
Yeah.
Well, they lived in Bradford, and girlfriends all over the place. Anyway, they loaded that up. Did they have... Were the pieces just big enough that you could pick them up and throw them on, or did they have...
They had all kinds of stuff, you know, blocks and tackle and different stuff pulling stuff and that.
You're talking about the coal?
Talking about the machinery, the dredge. When they were finished with it, some of those pieces...
They used for the shovel to go over and then swing it over, whatever they needed.
Because that's a big machine.
It was a big shovel.
Yeah. They could take a lot of it apart. A lot of that could be taken apart.
Yeah. They put it together.
You just take even that bloody bucket. You don't take that bucket
apart. That's right.
You wouldn't take the bucket apart.
But that stuff is all
manhandled in those days.
They could take the shafts apart and put them together and that.
How big would you think it would be? The barge. How big was the barge?
The barge?
The barge.
Oh, damn. A bigger map, one that we used to draw hay on. Mm-hmm. A lot bigger.
It was pretty near as wide as the canal, but it says 70 feet there, but the canal was never 70 feet wide.
No, it was 50 feet wide.
I would say 50. Well, then the dredge would be about 40 feet wide. Then.
I would say
Yeah,
it wouldn't be wider than that.
There wasn't much room on each side of the dredge.
No.
So it was about 40 feet wide.
I would say about that, not much more.
Then
anyway.
If you boys go to the dance they held on the dredge before they put the machinery in it.
Yeah. Geez, I didn't even know they had room.
What?
They had a dance on the dredge before they put the machinery on top
I think
of
they did. I know they had a party there. I don't know what the dance about.
How much swamp whiskey was there?
Well, it wasn't in evidence. Tom Foster did all right.
Cooney Foster was doing good, and old Dahlgren, or not Dahlgren, but...
So it'd be about 40 Banner. Feet wide and what, about 60 feet long?
Yes, I would say about that. It was about one-third longer than it was wide.
Yeah, it was quite a And how did they? And you then when they on the, according to that picture, they're like there are two stabilizing spikes that went out.
They had like a couple of arms or legs that went out, but kind of.
You had another one beside that, didn't you?
This one here.
Yeah,
Ernest didn't watch them working a few times. But you know, they work pretty near night and day.
Yeah, they do.
See, there it is there. Yeah. There's your arms come down. Yeah. Now then.
How did they operate those? They operate
steam.
Steam?
Yeah. Everything was operating. Now, do you see that little building on the back end there? That was the toilet. They lived and slept on right on that thing.
Oh,
and
yeah, they never got off of it.
And that little thing on the back, there, you can't see.
They delivered to them.
Yeah.
From the stores.
And that was the toilet on the back. And the guy, one buddy asked me at a meeting one time, where did the stuff go to? I said, in 25, 28, you just drop your load anywhere you want.
That is precious.
Do you see it there in the back on the right, on the side there? You can just faintly see it.
So would there be two crews?
Mm-hmm.
No, yes, I think the one slept during the time. There was about four men, wasn't there?
I think there was.
I know, I can remember three, but I can't remember four. Two at a time.
Well, Bill Sutton was there, so and
Bill Sutton,
and then Dick Waller, Tom Prince.
Yeah. Well, they all had papers.
Yeah.
They were engineers. Tom Prince used to run the thrash machine, and Dick Waller run the mill, this mill. They all had papers for engineers.
You say, can we just sidetrack us? You say the grist mill, was it a steam mill?
Yes.
It was a steam mill.
Oh, yes.
It never, had it ever been water?
No.
Had it ever been a water mill?
No.
Water
no,
power mill?
No,
no.
No,
it was always
stagnant. It was stagnant, and they just pumped, right at the back of where United Farms was, they just pumped it out of a big pond there.
Yeah.
There was a fresh flowing spring in there.
Lots of water down there. We used to skate and play hockey in there.
Yeah, but it was never a water power. It was
water power that I know of.
No flowing water here.
No.
This is all they're all at rest.
It was all steam. And right back in the old factory, there was another skating rink we had.
Yeah. Everybody pretty well had their own wells. Any outfit that there was in town had to have their own wells. Every house had their own well.
I know we did.
Yeah. Well, that was quite a big pond down there back in the...
Yeah, that little back house. and we also had the Eaton's catalog with it.
I remember the old man tell me but they used to have to go in on the weekend sometimes and change the bricks inside of the big boy inside of the big firebox. And he said, geez, was that ever hot in there?
Yes,
it wouldn't even cool down and they had to put new fire bricks in
this is on the barge.
They burned the bricks in the mill. I don't know anything about the dredge. Nobody seems to know anything about the dredge.
Well, you know, old Dick Waller used to keep that place spick and span and all the things, brass was shining. My God, that was the clean boiler room.
They were fussy
I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Have you ever been around a steam plant when they blew the safety valve?
Oh, geez.
No.
Have you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We were pushing coal. This is during the war. and we had a small bulldozer, and we were pushing coal for. They had a temporary boiler room set up for where the down at De Havilland where they did the test flight for the mosquito bombers.
Yeah.
And it was just a wooden shed. Was all it was. And they had a steam boiler in there, and the pipes all running all over the place. So anyway, this fellow come in at 8 o'clock in the morning. He says, "Well," he said, "we're going to see if the safety valve's working today." They stoked that thing till it was about 3:30 before it blew.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. My God, holy Jesus. There was steam going every damn way. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face.
I remember when the Keynes factory blew up, mm-hmm. The fella, engineer, injected cold water in, I guess so, and blew it anyway.
Oh, Jesus.
Blew up the walls clean out of the boiler room and everything.
Well, this didn't blow, but it was just a safety valve.
Yeah, safety valve. I know what you mean.
Well, that's what they used to do all the time. I think where you work down there, the Toronto, what the
hell?
Baby carriage factory.
Yeah.
Didn't they blow that whistle every so often, dinner times and that, as well as the town bell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you see, there was lots of water there. There was a spring right there, right at the back of the lumber shed at Spencer's Yard.
Yeah, that's right.
A spring. Yeah. We used to get our water, drinking water there.
Yeah.
Prof Day mentions that there was a consortium, a group that came together to drain them, to sponsor the drainage of the marsh.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about that bunch?
Well, the only ones I know of was the councils, and they also had a bunch from Guelph, the Guelph Syndicate. You heard of that?
Nope.
Judge McKinnon and the lawyers and Professor Day was one of them until he had a fallout with them before they drained when he was with the what do you call it the college there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
Agriculture
College.
Judge McKinnon and a bunch of lawyers and I owned practically, I would say, one third of the marsh. They called themselves the Guelph Syndicate, and they owned pretty much all the land west.
You can see their names on the map. I've got a map here. They're quite. I recognize some of the names that are on there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see.
Well, then Danny Nolan, W.D. Watts being on that. Danny Nolan was in on that.
What about Jim Grave? Gray.
I'll not tell you who else was
Jim Gray never had no money.
A fellow named Buchanan.
You know
Buchanan?
Yeah.
Buchanan?
Yeah.
He lived down near Amsterdam.
Yeah.
He was the president of some trust company in